planks beside the hatch lifted in unison, snapping back as if they were elastic. Water started to seep out. Barry McCarple was scrambling on all fours along the deck, his face engorged with desperation. Carl held out his hand to the Ivat, willing him on. Thunk! The planks directly below Barry were smashed asunder. They ruptured upwards, jagged edges puncturing the Ivat's belly and chest, then ripping his torso apart like a giant claw. A metre-wide geyser of water slammed upwards out of the gap, buffeting the corpse with it. Carl turned to follow the water rising, fear stunned out of him by the incredible, impossible sight. The geyser roared ferociously, shaking Carl's bones and obliterating the impassioned shouts from the colonists. It rose a full 30 meters above the decking, its crown blossoming out like a flower. Water, silt, and fragments of mayope plank splattered down. Clinging for dear life to one of the cable drums, as the Swithland bucked about like a wounded brown spine, Carl watched the geyser chewing away at the ragged sides of the hole it had bored. It was creeping forward, towards the superstructure. The builders must be full already. Slowly and surely, more and more wood was eroded by the terrific force of the water. In another minute it would reach the furnace room. He thought of what would happen when the water struck all 15 tons of the searingly hot furnace, and whimpered. Rosemary Lambourne had a hard struggle to stay upright as the Swithland tossed about. Only by clinging to the wheel could she even stay on her feet. It was the sheer fright in Carl's voice which had spurred her into action. He wasn't afraid of anything on the river. He had been born on the Swithland. That deadly battering noise was knocking into her heart as much as the howl. The strength behind anything that could thump the boat about like this was awesome. How much of the Swithland is going to be left after this? God damn Colin Rexu, his lackness and stupidity. The Ivats would never dare to revolt with a firm, competent governor in charge. A roar like a continual explosion made her jump, almost sending her feet from under her. It was suddenly raining on the Swithland alone. The entire superstructure was trembling. What was happening back there? She checked the little hollow screen which displayed the boat's engineering schematics. They were losing power rapidly from the furnace. Reserve electron matrix crystals cut in, maintaining the full current to the engines. Rosemary, the radio called. She couldn't spare the time to answer. Swithland's prow was pointing directly at the bank 65 meters away, and they were picking up speed again. Pods and cases were scattered in the boat's wake, bouncing about in the water. She saw a couple of people splashing among them. More people went falling from the foredeck. It was as tightly packed as a rugby scrum down there, and there wasn't a thing she could do except get them to the shore. Off on the port side, Nasir was floundering about, paddles spinning intermittently. Rosemary saw a giant fountain of water smash through the middle of its superstructure, debris whirling away into the sky. What the fuck could do that? Some kind of water monster skulking around the riverbed? Even as the fantasy germinated in her mind, she knew that wasn't the real answer. But she did know what the roaring noise behind her was now. The knowledge sucked at the last of her strength. If it hit the furnace... Nasir's prow lifted into the air, shoving the afterdeck below the water. The superstructure crumpled up, large chunks being flung aside by the tremendous jet of water. Dozens of people were swept into the river, arms and legs twirling frantically. In her mind she could hear the screams. There were just too many people on board the paddle boats. Rexu had already increased the numbers of colonists they were made to carry, refusing to listen to the warning from the captain's delegation. Then he dumped this posse on them as well. "If I ever get back to Durringham, you're dead, Rexu," she promised herself. "You haven't just failed us, you've condemned us." Then the Nasir began to capsize, rolling ever faster onto her starboard side. The jet of water died away as the keel flipped up. Rosemary saw a huge hole in the planks amidships as it reached the vertical. That was when the water must have rushed in on the furnace. A massive blast of white steam devoured the rear of the boat, rolling out across the surface of the river. Mercifully, it shielded the final act in the Nasir's convulsive death.